you don't have Bible, would you raise your hand, please? Everybody got Bible? Good. Hey, buddy. Ruth, come on up. It's not like I'm going to bite you. Front seat. After we finish Book of Judges, and we are about to finish this in chapter 21, will be the last one here. And we will go to 1st and 2nd Thessalonians in the New Testament. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. So, start to read ahead, please. Thessalonians is a great book to study. And we will start. There are not many biblical characters in we know that is well known as Samson. Somehow, since our childhood Sunday school time, we somehow thought that this man, Samson, is a man's man, big man with the bulging muscles and on his arms and legs and chest, and he can slew many people. Of course, the United States Department of Defense would love to have a guy like this who will pick up the jawbone of a donkey and improvise their weapon into the lethal weapon and kill the 1,000 enemy soldiers. Then we don't have to spend $100 billion on the defense budget. But problem with that is this Samson guy is unpredictable and dependable because he's a double-minded man. For example, he is bold before men. But he is extremely weak in front of woman. He cannot resist a woman's whatever, and I'm not going to put myself in trouble again. So he had to spill his guts. He might be empowered by the Holy Spirit, but he would yield himself to the fleshly desires. He was called to declare war against the Philistines. But he hang around with the Philistine people, and he even married a Philistine woman, not once, but twice. He would fight against the Philistine. He would fight the God's battle during the day, but he would disobey God's commandment at night. And he's the kind of guy who would have a name, special name. Samson means sunny, S-U-N-N-Y, sunny, brightness. Great name. But he is the one who is blind by the darkness of his enemy. He was supposed to conquer those enemies, but he was conquered by them. We are going to study this week and next week, four chapters. First 13 and 14th chapter of the Judges is about his birth and his family and light is flickering in front of this darkness. However, in chapter 15 and 16, we find that light is going out and he is going to die in the hidden temple of Palestine. He had such a promising start, but his end is fizzled. He started with a bang, but his end was completely useless. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you. Let us learn from the mistake and fault of Samson so that we may not duplicate that kind of thing. It is our desire to follow you with all of our heart and mind and soul, not start with a bang and end with a fizzle, but consistently glowing for you and lighting this dark world with your light. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 13, please. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. You guys are familiar with this phrase? By now, this is the seventh time, okay? Evil in the sight of the Lord, repeating it over and over and over. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of a Philistine for 40 years. That's a long time. And notice that there are not one time Jewish people complaining to God and crying out to God for 40 years, business as usual. because they are used to with that kinds of occupation. Verse 2, now, there was a certain man from the Zoar of the family of Danite, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be Nazarite to God from the womb. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of Philistine. Note that word, begin to deliver. It doesn't say he will deliver. Begin to deliver. So the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his countenance was like a countenance of an angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite from God from the womb to the day of his death. Few babies in the Bible have this kind of favorable circumstance like Samson. Just like John the Baptist and Jesus our Lord, his divine calling was from before he was conceived. And he was divinely announced and consecrated from the birth, and his life mission was designated before he even conceived. With this solid start, was not good. Solid start does not guarantee, listen carefully please, solid start does not guarantee that he will finish well. Just because some of you might start your journey with Christ from Calvary Chapel. Yes, Calvary Chapel is known for expository study. Calvary Chapel is known for biblical teaching. That doesn't guarantee that we're going to finish well. It's a day-to-day work with Christ. It doesn't matter where we are. As some of you guys know, that Buddy Zale here and I went to the Las Vegas. That place is, I was warned by my daughter. It's a horrible place. I didn't know it was that bad. I guarantee you I will never go back to that place. It doesn't matter what kinds of gun show they have. It could be 10 times better gun show than we had. However, in that place, there's a Calvary Chapel Spring Valley. In the midst of that horrible place, Buddy was driving, because I don't want to drive in that kind anywhere, because I'm not good at finding place. I get lost so easily. Anyway, he was driving, and I saw this one particular structure. Its building is a pyramid. And at the end of the pyramid, light was going straight up about half a mile straight into the air. In dark place, there was quite a sight. But when we went to the Spring Valley Church, and the worship was sweet. In the middle of the worship, God spoke to my heart. The worship and praise we are making at that place was going not half a mile, going straight to the throne of God. And God heard that very well. And that was more precious in His sight than some gigantic beam going up from the pyramid. Anyway, let's continue in verse 15. We'll skip out to the 15. And then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you, and we will prepare your young goat for you. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, although you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name? that when your word come to pass, we may honor you. And the angel of the Lord said to him, Why do you ask my name, seeing that it is wonderful? So the Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did wondrous things while the Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened on the flame, as the flame went up toward the heaven from the altar. Angel of the Lord ascended into the flame of the altar. And the Manoah and his wife saw this, and they fell on their face to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to the Manoah and his wife, then the Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, We shall surely die because we have seen the Lord, seen God. But his wife said to him, If the Lord has desired to kill us, he would not have accepted the burnt offering and the grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as this at this time. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at the Manoah, then Mahanath, then between the Zorah and Eshtol. I actually kind of note that he, verse 6, well, let's go back there. Verse 5. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of Philistine. Did he deliver the Israeli people from the Philistine? No. By end of chapter 16, he died. The Philistine is still in occupation. Samson judged for 20 years. How long is the occupation? 40 years. So, people of Israel was still under occupation of Philistine. Who finished? He started the deliverance, but who finished it? David. Remember 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel? Israel was delivered by the hand of King David. So he started, but he didn't finish it because he was not obedient to the Lord. Before we go any further, we must know about a few things about this people, Philistine. Philistine people is a rather unique people. Let's close this thing. There. Philistine people came from the Greece, and of course would be Greece down here from Turkey following the coastline down to here. This is the coastal line of the Canaan land. Note that here, you can really clearly see it. Here's Ashdod, Ashkelon, and Gaza, and Gath, and Ekron. Remember those five cities when we studied 1 Samuel chapter 7? Remember the Ark of God was captured by the Philistine, and it was shoved around from one city to another city, because whenever it goes into one particular city, God poured out the wrath on them, and they had a rat, and they had what else? Hemorrhoid, thank you. They had a real problem with sitting. Anyway, it's been pushed over. The five cities, the main cities, and there's a team now which we're going to study. This is the Sephilar. Sephilar is the kind name of a low country. When the Israeli people came across the Jordan River from Egypt here all the way to here, and they crossed this land, this is the hill country where the Israeli people is occupying. And meanwhile, Philistine people is in the lowland where the valley is. They were staying here, and Shephelah is the kind of borderline where they divide the Jewish land and Philistine land. Am I making sense to you? And the Zorah is right somewhere here, borderline area. So in other words, Samson was judging this area during the day and night, go to the Philistine land to satisfy his fleshly appetite. He was going back and forth. That's why I said at the beginning, he was a double-minded man. And of course, in James chapter 1, verse 8, nobody will have anything accomplished Because people are double-minded. Let's continue in this. Now, John, we read a portion of John, this Samson was like a Nazarite. What is Nazarite? John the Baptist is another one who was considered as, Nazarite comes from the Hebrew word to be separate and to consecrate. And Nazarite was the person whose certain period of time they would consecrate themselves in a special way and abstinent from the drinking of wine or any similar drinks. And they would not touch any dead bodies, keep themselves away from the dead bodies. And as one of the symbol, and being a Nazarite, they would not cut their hair. They would keep their hair long. During that time, man's hair must be cut short. You know, some of the pictures we see it in Israel, people have a long hair. They might have a shoulder length of a little bit of long hair, not all the way down to their back. Nazarite would do that. If you'd like to take a look at Nazarite law, governing law is mentioned in Numbers chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. Okay. We'll put this away. Let's continue in verse 1 of chapter 14. Now Samson went down to the Timnah. We just look at the place. Timnah, and saw a woman, woman in Timnah, a daughter of the Philistine. So he went up and told her his father and mother, saying, look this phrase, please. I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistine. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. This is the judge. This is the judge of Israel. He's saying, I want the woman, go get her for me. It's like a little whining kid. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren, among all my people, that you must go and get wife from the uncircumcised Philistine? Samson said to his father, get her for me for what? She pleased me well. Or some of you guys, virgin said, she is pleasing to my eyes. In other words, he doesn't even know her name. He doesn't know anything about her. But she looked good on me, good to me, so get her for me. But his father and mother did not know that it was the Lord that he was seeking occasion to move against the Philistine, for that at that time, Philistine had dominion over Israel. The first out of we hear from the Samson's mouth is, I've seen the woman in the Timnah of the daughters of Philistine. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. As I said, he doesn't care anything other than sexual appeal. So he's asking for her as a wife. And in a way, it kind of reminds me, it's a typical American man's attitude. Satan and his cohort know that this would work well. Because man's a bit more of visual. Thank you. So he would use that kind of thing to target men's movies, TV sitcoms, advertisement, billboard, anything to show the visual effect of the sexual appeal. Woman is a different story. That's the reason why there is more woman who is involved with the internet chat room known as cyber sex. They're having a quote-unquote cyber sex outside of marriage. More women is doing that kind of thing than men because they are aroused by this personal touch, I guess, while the man is more visual. Satan is out there to destroy the marriage. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Since we know this kind of thing, we should keep our heart with the guard our heart with the word of God. And we should not put ourselves into that kind of area where we can be tempted. Verse 22 of chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. Flee also youthful lust. Flee also youthful lust. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of the pure heart. Let's read one more time. Chapter 2 to 22, 2 Timothy. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of pure heart. Out of pure heart. There's one thing I want you to note that is with those who call on the Lord. If you stand alone, if I stand alone, we'll be knocked down by the Satan. Because there's no accountability. Because there's no support. So it is important for us to support each other. Okay, let's go back to Samson again. This is also known as love at the first sight, isn't it? This guy looked at this Philistine woman. She had the ooey gooey eyes, and he said, oh, okay, I want her. Love at first sight. It's so romantic, and the ladies might say. However, what does he know about her? Practically nothing. As far as we know from the Bible, there's nothing he talks about her character. Love at first sight might be wonderful and romantic, but it is an extremely dangerous thing. Especially for a Christian. We need to know each other before we get involved. For here, majority of you that are married, so it's not an issue. But still, when we get to know each other doing business or anything else, and I mentioned to you before, if Christians get involved with a non-Christian in business, that's going to head for trouble. Let's look at it as a marriage. Let's say there's a guy named Charlie. We always pick on him. Charlie and Susan. And Susan is not a Christian. Charlie is. And Charlie said, ooh and ah to Susan, and I want to marry you. And she's not a believer. As a Christian, what is the most important thing in the person's life? Following Christ, isn't it? What is the most important thing in Susan's life? Nothing to do with the Christ. So they both come from the opposite, extreme opposite. One is Christ-centered, the other one is not Christ-centered. The foundation is not leveled together. So, of course, there will be a problem. Remember the illustration I made? If I'm standing down and somebody tries to pull me up, I can easily take that person down. Because I have a gravity on my side. And it's easy for us to fall down than we try to pull somebody up to the God's level. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Some of you guys already know this by heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. If you don't know this by heart, I suggest you to memorize this. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. I'm not saying we should not contact with any unbelievers. Then how would they know about Jesus Christ? How can we evangelize to the non-believers? This is not what any association means. Some in-depth relationship. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with the darkness. So it is important for us to get with people whom we have a common with. Those who call on the name of the Lord, so that out of pure heart. Let's go back to the chapter 14, verse 5, and Judges. Now Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother, and came to the vineyard vineyard of the Timnah. Now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat. Though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Wonder why. Then he went down and talked with the woman. She pleased Samson well. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see a carcass of lion. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hand and went along eating. When he came to his father and mother, and he gave some to them, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken honey out of the carcass of the lion. When God isn't permitted to rule our lives, He will get His way no matter what. He will overrule us. For example, this is the case when Samson is not following God's way. God will get His way. He was told to declare the war against the Philistine. And he didn't follow God's order. What the God's going to do? He's going to make this use of this occasion, this unlawful, ungodly marriage to make an occasion to defeat the Philistine. We will see pretty soon. It appeared that Samson left the main road and mom and dad, and he went a side road, and he ended up in a where? Vineyard. Remember, Nazareth has nothing to do with what? Vineyard, grape, and wine. But he went there. For why? For what reason? We don't know. Maybe he was daring. And the lion jumped on him. Wonder what lion was sent by God to warn him. Yet, to preserve his life, Holy Spirit came upon him to kill this lion. Excuse me. Samson had the honey out of carcass of a lion. He's not supposed to touch the dead body. But he did. That means he just broke the Nazarite's vow. He could kill this about Nazarite's vow. He could kill this about God's command. When he was told to declare war against the Philistine, he didn't. And he was told to keep the Nazarite's vow. He didn't. Now he's going forwards. He was flirting with a compromise. Folks, when we flirt with a compromise, we will face consequences, no matter what it is. There's no such a thing as, well, I'll be okay. Remember when during the time, Jim Baker and Jimmy Schweiger incident? What was the excuse Jimmy Baker came up with? Because the guy was using me so mightily, I thought I'm going to get away with it. Compromise, if we compromise, and we will face consequences. It doesn't matter what it is. Even though Samson did the foolish things, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, after he was filled with the Holy Spirit and killed a lion, what did he do? He went on to his Philistine woman. Was that supposed to be? No. So, what am I trying to get out of this? Just because we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that does not guarantee that we are doing the right things. Let me repeat one more time. It's very important for us to understand. Just because we are filled with the Holy Spirit, just because we are doing something for God, that doesn't mean we are doing the right things. Good example. Apostle Paul mentioned it to the Corinthian people. 1 Corinthians is written to these people who are gifted with just about everything in the Holy Spirit. They have the gift of prophecy. They have the gift of tongue. They have the gift of interpretation. They had just about everything that we would like to have from the Holy Spirit. They had them. But what did Apostle Paul call them? You are carnal. You are immature. Just because somebody's speaking in tongue or they speak a prophecy, that doesn't mean that that person is right on the dot. Now, another thing. This Samson is a great example of a carnal Christian. As I said before, during the daytime, they might do the work of God. And night, they try to satisfy their fleshly appetite. In the presence of other people, they might want to do the things to show off how godly they are. But at night, they might go after the things that satisfy their fleshly desires. So what is it? That's nothing more than carnal desire. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us and gives us power to do work, it's not for us to show off. It's for us to bring glory to Him, to the Father in heaven. So whenever Jesus did a miracle, as we study in the book of Mark, whenever He does a great miracle, what happened to the people? People gave glory to who? Father in heaven. When we receive the power from the Holy Spirit, that doesn't mean we can boast what kind of gift we have, but let's boast about the gift giver. Continue verse 10. So his father went down to the woman, and Samson gave a feast there, for young men used to do so. And it happened that when they saw him, they brought the 30 companions to be with him. More like this is people who want to surround Samson, make sure he doesn't cause a problem. These 30 companions are Philistine people. Verse 12, and Samson said to them, let me pose a riddle to you. If you can correctly solve it, explain it to me within 7 days of the feast, then I will give the 30 linen garment and 30 change of clothing. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 change of clothing. And they said to him, pose your riddle, that we may hear it. So he said to them, out of the eater came something to eat, out of the strong came something sweet. Now for 3 days they could not explain the riddle, but it came to the pass in the seventh day that they said to the Samson's wife, entice your husband, that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we will burn you and your father's house with a fire. Have you invited us in order to take what is ours? Is that not so? Nice guys, isn't it? Then Samson's wife wept on him and said, you only hate me, you do not love me. You have posed the riddle to the sons of my people, but you have not explained it to me. He said to her, look, I have not explained to my father or my mother, so should I explain it to you? Now she had wept on him 7 days. Wow. While their feast lasted, it happened on the seventh day that he told her because she pressed him so much. Then she explained the riddle to the sons of her people. So the man of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is the sweeter than honey and what is the stronger than lion? He said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, of course that is a small size calf, and you would not have solved my riddle. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon, killed the 30 of their men, took their apparel, and gave the change of clothing to those who had explained the riddle. So his anger aroused, and he went back up to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his best man. Sad to say that Samson constructed a riddle based on who? What? His own sin. Not something good. He was playing with his sin. He's thinking that even though he violated the Nazarite vow, he made a joke out of it. First, the Philistine woman enticed him in verse 1, and she manipulated him in verse 17, and she betrayed him in verse 17. That's a typical way the world treats backslidden believers. They will entice and they will manipulate. Once the believer fall into that trap, and they will betray. The Lord is using this occasion to turn Samson's heart against Philistine. This is the first time he killed people, 30 people. And then from then it's going to be a fight. Let's go to Psalm 32, verse 8 and 9. Some of you guys know this by heart, and it's great. Again, a great verse to memorize. Psalm 32, verse 8 and 9. This is what God is speaking to His people. I will instruct you and teach you in the ways you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like a horse or like a mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else you will, and they will not come near you. If we can look into God's face by faith, He would like to guide us with His eyes. Some of you guys received the invitation to our vow renewal that we are going to have on the 31st of March. That poor woman put up with me for 25 years. Now, we lived long enough, we tend to know each other's heart. She doesn't have to finish her sentence for me to understand what she wants. And I hardly have to say anything for her to know my heart. It's more than that. Between the relationship between the believers, true follower of Jesus Christ and God, we should know His heart by looking at His eyes. Through our faith, He can guide us. How can we do that? Simple explanation. This. The more we read, the more we get to know His heart. Last night, I had the occasion to ask God, what should I do for one particular situation? In my heart, I knew what I was supposed to do. And I ran it by the board member, if I'm doing correct things. And I was right. See, the more we stay in the Word, we get to know His heart. Instead, wouldn't that be great if we don't run ahead of God like a horse or being drugged by Him like a mule? Why don't we just follow Him? He look at us with His eyes and we know His heart. Only way is through this Word. Let's make an application. Application number one, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, He empowers us to live for God, to bring glory to Him, not to show off the power we receive from Him as if it's our own. It is not our own, so there's nothing for us to boast about. If we have to boast, let's boast about the gift giver, not gift. Second application, it's better for us to lose what we think precious then walk away from the relationship with our God. Remember the song we sing time to time? Better is one day in the court of God than 1,000 days elsewhere. That's a straight out from the Bible. As a matter of fact, it's from Psalm. It's better for us to lose what we think is precious than losing our relationship with God. Third application, if we are looking by faith into the face of God, He can guide us with His eyes. But if we turn our back on him, he has to treat us like an animal, to put a harness on us, to guide us back to his way. God will get his way no matter what. If we think we can fight against God and win, we are truly losers. We cannot fight against God and win. So it's better for us to say, okay, you do your way, I'll follow you. Be guided by his eyes. Isn't that just sweet to think about? We can be guided by God's eyes. I don't think we can find a better relationship than that. Let's have communion.